This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You won't see anything from me tonight. Unfortunately, I will not be in uniform tonight. Still dealing with ankle and foot discomfort, so I will not be playing tonight, unfortunately. You know, I hate that, but I'm looking forward to seeing the format. This is the first year for it. I know we got a lot of great, they call us the OGs. That's hilarious. We do got a few guys with gray hairs, so that makes sense. But, you know, that should be fun. I saw the quote the other day, DK, somebody's going to play against me. So I guess I'll see him at practice and hopefully I'll be in practice. We can go at it then.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Well, that was LeBron James you just heard from. This is Sam Lubman that you're hearing from right now. It's also Dan Devone, who you'll also be hearing from here in this final hour of the show before we get into the official start of the All-Star Sunday night festivities. But as the news broke about 10, 15 minutes ago, no LeBron James in the All-Star game tonight. Foot and ankle injuries is the reason, and we're all feeling some type of way about it. Unfortunate that one of the premier star of the NBA will not be on the court tonight for this showcase of NBA basketball greatness. It's frustrating. It is very, very frustrating here, Dan. As we're talking about, just how are we feeling about this right now?
It's a weenie move. It's a real weenie move on the part of LeBron James. And, you know, just as you mentioned, where I think that as he gets older, a lot of us are beginning to put him in a different lens where we appreciate some of what it is that he's been able to do. And even for those of us out in Northern California where the hatred is sort of innate in our DNA, that you're sort of coming around. But this is a step in the wrong direction. Like, this is, again, not giving a rip about the fans. And I know it's a pain, right? Like, I know it's all about the regular season and you don't necessarily want to do this, but it shows me that he doesn't fully grasp just how important this is. And again, that it is real, that when you stack the NBA up against that of the NFL and even Major League Baseball, say what you will about baseball, but the Yankees and the Dodgers revitalized that sport, and we'll see if there's carryover next year. But the NBA has a real issue because the popularity isn't nearly what it was some 10, 15 years ago. And it's because of moves like this. They specifically took a poll, and it was load management, it was money, and it was three-point shooting, and it was the All-Star game. And so for a guy who apparently is the face, the ambassador, not to grasp that and to do this an hour before tip, it's inexcusable.
It's not a great look. I agree with you on that one. But at the same time, there's a part of me that it's kind of hard to throw all of this on LeBron. I know when you are the face, when you are the king, you know, you have to have more fall on you. But at the same time, like, again, this guy is 40 years old, and he has put more mileage on his body in the NBA than anyone else in the history of the world. Like, no one has played more minutes of high-level basketball than LeBron James. Like, the amount of wear and tear on this guy's body is got to be insane. And the fact that he's playing as well as he is at age 40, damn, I'm 32 years old, and like sometimes just getting into bed, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling that. And I'm 32 years old, and I think I'm in pretty good shape. You know, I work out a few times a week. Like, I keep at it. This guy's 40 years old and is a better athlete than you, me, and anybody else who is currently listening to this show, unless, I don't know, maybe Steph's listening to us on the way in, but I think even LeBron might have better athletic ability than Steph. I mean, that guy is the T-1000 Terminator in terms of just how well built he is. So all this is to say, like, he has put so much on it. Like, it sucks saying this, but like, if you can't go, if you need a night off because you got to rest your body because you have actual games you have to play, because again, he's 40 years old. I'm not sure if he's actually going to be playing next year. I don't think that's a guarantee. He probably will be. Like, could you imagine 41 years old and he's still playing in the league at this level? But you know, he's got actual games that he needs to win. I look at it as, yeah, is it frustrating that LeBron's not playing? Yes. Can you be mad at him? Yes. But at the same time, like, NBA, this is why you need a new star. This is why you need to get a new face of the league. Like, you're still going to have Steph Curry. You're still going to have Kevin Durant out there. I don't know how many minutes you're going to have Steph out there. And I don't know if Kevin Durant is really that super face of the league draw that he was a few years ago. I think a lot of fans still have some sort of feelings about him, and we'll talk about that in a second. But this is where the NBA's lack of a next man up, I feel like, really kind of rears its ugly head. Because, okay, LeBron's out, but if Anthony Edwards was that guy, well, you still got Ant. You know, I mean, you still have Steph and KD, but yeah, it does suck with LeBron being out. But this is why you need those secondary stars, that next generation of stars, to rise up. And that's another issue with the NBA that we talked about earlier, and hopefully tonight's game kind of help remedy that, is that there is no next face of the league. What if LeBron retires at the end of this year? Like, remember when golf lost Tiger Woods for a minute, and they're trying to tell us, like, dad, we got Trevor Immelman. What? We got Zach Johnson. Oh, hey, let's get excited for Jordan Spieth. Like, oh, man, Spieth, man. For a minute there, I actually thought. But this is where, yeah, you need a next generational star to take over this league. And moments like this just further highlight that need.
Well, I think that hearing the sound pop sort of was kerosene on the fire a little bit there. Because I was like you, willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, 40 years of age. But hearing that, can you put that on my board? And his explanation, it was so premeditated. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm not going to be playing tonight. And then he gets into sort of this moment of levity, and I forgot what it is that he was joking about. But if it really happened in a practice or something happened over the last couple of days, which obviously it did not, it would have been like, yeah, I'm bummed, man. I was going hard in this particular play, or I was at practice and I planted my right foot and it gave way. And listen, I just want to err on the side of caution. But that response,
the oh, by the way-ness of it, yeah, like nonchalantly.
Again, that's just one of those, you guys don't matter.
When's the last time a player announced, hey, I'm not playing tonight in any game? Like, do you think you would ever do that for a regular season game? I guess no, because the players don't usually talk before games, but yeah, that's...
Well, sometimes there's game time decisions, but it's a legitimate injury, right?
Yeah, it's... Well, again, this isn't a legitimate basketball game, though. That's the thing. And yeah, it's... If you're even just a little bit sore or banged up and you're 40 years old and you're the face of the league and you got to drag the Lakers to a 5 seed so you can get knocked out in the second round, there's an element of like, I get it. There is an element of I get it here. I don't like it, but I do understand it. And it's just, this is the reality of when your face of the league is 40 years old, is that he's going to sit out things like this. We can hate him for it. I think you're absolutely within your right to be angry with him over it. But there's also a level of spilled milk here that I'm seeing. Then it's just like, why am I going to cry over it? It's spilled. There's no, you can't put it back in the carton. So I get the frustration. This is just the unfortunate situation I feel like the NBA finds.
Just to put it in your sweet spot, Derek Jeter would do this in Major League Baseball in his latter years. Mm-hmm. He would just basically say, yeah, I'm not going to be there. And he'd come up with some excuse. But in baseball, you had so many younger players, whether it was Tulowitzki. Exactly. Or, I mean, there were so many, and they're all American.
They're other stars, yeah.
Yeah, and just you didn't have to worry weight. About, yeah, so.
Which is crazy to say, though. Are we really saying that Steph isn't that kind of star that can carry this event?
No, he can.
Yeah, he absolutely can, but the reason I say is because I'm not even sure how much Steph we're going to see tonight. If Steph played 2 minutes tonight and that was it, would you be shocked?
No, that's not. It can't happen. Not at home. Not in this. Maybe if it was back in New Orleans like last year, but here in San Francisco, he's got to play, and yeah. He's got to play both halves.
Maybe I'm a little pessimistic. It's
up to 40.
I think it's 3 games.
Yeah.
So the first game's at 5:20 between Team Kenny and Team Chuck. Team Kenny, of course, having the young all-stars. Team Chuck having the international all-stars. Then at 6:10, and by the way, it's the first of 40. There's no time. Yeah. It's the first of 4, which
that. And the championship game, I think, is 25.
We're talking about, you know, what we could do to fix these events. We haven't even mentioned something that I think has been great for the All-Star event, which is the fixed ending. I think playing with a clock and unlimited points or whatever, I never really liked that. I think we have a fixed ending that they have to reach, the Elam ending, I think, as they've been calling it. I do like that a lot. So Team Candace, Team Shaq will be at 6:10. Then at 7 o'clock is the championship. The first team to get 40 will be the winner. Again, all these are untimed. So I do like that.
I want to say the championship game is to 25.
No, the championship game is also 40.
It is also 40.
Yeah, according to what I'm reading here on ESPN.com. So if it's 25, I'll say that ESPN was wrong and not me. So yeah, it'll be interesting how the ratings change tonight as well for the viewership here. But again, like, I still expect this the way I see it.
You know what this
Curry,
is going
to do? This is your event now. Let's be the MVP tonight.
So as being a star producer like that of one Sam Lubin, you know what's going to happen. Not only here, sports talk radio throughout the country, ESPN 1 through 7, all of the Fox Sports shows, anybody who can blog or vlog has got a YouTube channel, which is, you know, upwards to millions of people these days. Because it's so slow, and we talked about this, and we're sort of joking that there's not a lot going on today. There's a Daytona 500. You've got some college basketball,
Chinese
but nothing's happening. You know, as a producer, you need to talk about something.
Oh, yeah.
All-Star game, yeah, that might get you through, the first block?
It's taking us 2 hours and 15 minutes so far. So.
What people are going to sink their teeth into is what LeBron just did. Mm-hmm. And it's going to divide
the
room.
That's a good point. It's going to overshadow things. Like, I'll be curious when we open up the morning roast tomorrow morning. Yeah, I think it's a good point. What will be the first thing that Joe Spadoni talks about? Will he talk about what Steph did? Will he talk about what LeBron did? He is a Laker fan, so that's always a possibility. Will he talk about what Dalton Connect did? I hope it doesn't go that far. Or he's going to talk about what happened on White Lotus tonight because season 3 premieres on HBO Max.
Thailand,
yeah. Mm. You into White Lotus?
Yeah.
You a White Lotus guy, Cam? Yeah, he's indifferent to it. I didn't like the first season in Hawaii.
In Hawaii?
I didn't like the Hawaii season. I like the one in Italy, though. I love that.
That was
second.
The last one.
Yeah. I the first season, like, this show's stupid.
Was that with Christopher Moltisanti from The Sopranos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Imperioli?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first season. I'm like, this is stupid. I don't like this. And I was like, no, watch the second season. You'll like it. I watched the second season. I'm like, all right, I'm on board with this show.
Oh, you're right. The Italian one was really good.
Funny. So very excited. So yeah, that's all to say. Did White Lotus just rise up on the power rankings tonight because LeBron isn't there? So again, we are, Cam, do we have that sound of what LeBron said announcing he's not going to be playing tonight? If we can get that on there as well. But yeah, we are reacting to the news that LeBron James will not be playing in tonight's All-Star game.
By the way,
here's what he had to say. We'll get that thought in a second. Here's what LeBron had to say about 30-ish minutes ago.
You won't see anything from me tonight. Unfortunately, I will not be in uniform tonight. Still dealing with ankle and foot discomfort, so I will not be playing tonight, unfortunately. You know, I hate that, but I'm looking forward to seeing the format. This is the first year for it. I know we got a lot of great, call us the OGs, that's hilarious. We do got a few guys with gray hairs, so that makes sense. But, that should be fun. I saw a quote the other day of DK with somebody who's going to play against me. So I guess I'll see him at practice, and hopefully I'll be in practice. We can go at it then.
I don't even think he showed up to the practice either. So I got text from my dad. He thinks LeBron rolled his ankle at the Gold Club. we mentioned the nonchalantness of it, and then how he kind of gets a little bit jokey afterwards. He was so excited to be at not doing this tonight.
That was
maybe I'm reading into it, and I am. I'm reading into a tone there, and I'm assuming, and we all know what you say when you assume, but I'm gonna go down that road. It sounds like he's excited that he doesn't have to do this tonight.
Listen, he obviously has his minions and a PR team.
Mm-hmm.
They did not handle that well. That was so matter of the fact. That was just, we know you don't want to play in the thing, but sell it a little bit. That is not good, what it is that we just heard. And you're going to hear a lot more of it over the next 48 hours, I think. Actually, for the next week, because there's nothing going on.
Yeah, no, there's nothing else to shock you from. I mean, you better hope that something goes down in one of these hockey games between now and Thursday, because, there are no basketball games tomorrow. There are no hockey games.
It'll be dead red LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Unless Cooper Flagg drops a 60 bomb on Monday night against whoever they're playing, no one's talking about anything other than LeBron. ESPN First Take might do 2 hours straight of LeBron commercial free tomorrow.
And he didn't do himself any favors with that soundbite.
No, that's tone is not great.
Not at all. And he's laughing. It's like he's not grasping this. There's going to be serious, I think, there's going to be pushback. He did not handle this well at all. By the way, so I wanted to get into this, is that we're looking at a motorcade going down the block. We're assuming that's...
That was the motorcade taking LeBron away from Chase Center?
Well, we're assuming that's the players going to the game, but they're heading the wrong direction.
Exactly, yeah. That's
so we're on Kearney Street. Yeah. Explain to the folks at home what the hell it is that we're watching outside.
I'm not really sure. So we're on Kearney Street right off of Market on the north side of Market. And this part of
we're one way north.
Yeah,
right?
It's a one way street north, heading towards North Beach and that area. And during the break, we hear all this commotion going on down there, and because they've had the barricades along the street, because that's where the Chinese New Year parade has been.
Yes,
the Chinese New Year parade went through Kearney Street.
Here are the snake,
and it was snaking through the city last night. Give myself a one for that one. And so we got this one way street there, and there's this giant motorcade going, cops and everything. And I'm not sure who it could be. Last time I saw a motorcade like that going down the street was when the Asia Festival, the Asia Conference was going on last year, and Joe Biden was in town. Mm. And we saw him rope off that street, and you saw the president go by with the beast and everything like that. So, I have no idea what it could be. Maybe it was. Maybe it was LeBron James leaving Chase Center and heading to North Beach. That's where he's going to be hanging out for the night. He'll be at Original Joe's post.
Do you know when Carlo's having a pizza slice watching the game like the rest of us listen to the jukebox? I doubt it, but who knows?
Yeah, if it beats having to, play basketball tonight, I guess, in LeBron's eyes. But, James tonight, though.
That was an ugly, ugly display. But who would have thought, Sunday afternoon, you and I just hanging out. Suddenly we got motorcades going in the wrong direction.
I got Draymond Green sound that we might not even get to.
LeBron
now.
James breaking news. I mean, so much for a quiet Sunday afternoon.
Hey, I love it. It gives us a little bit of juice here for this last hour of the show. So, no LeBron James. I haven't seen any changes to the line yet for the 43 people who are betting on it. Right now, Team Shaq is -6.5 over Team Candace and her Rising Stars with an over-under of 73.5. So basically what they're saying is they expect Team USA to win this, 40-32 or something like that in this matchup here. So, but hey, maybe these young Rising Stars, this is their chance. They can get off to that early lead here and push some of these OGs. And LeBron doesn't play. I mean, that's the other thing. Imagine if Team Shaq doesn't win now in that first game, and without LeBron, and Steph doesn't play a whole lot, and that puts a lot of pressure on Kevin Durant, I think, because that's the triarchy right there. Is Steph, KD, and LeBron. Those are your three best, or most accomplished players in the league overall right now. And if they aren't playing in that second game, I'm curious what the ratings are going to look like. And that is one thing that the NBA All-Star Weekend cannot afford to have, which is everyone's tuned in at 5:20 and everyone is watching White Lotus at 7 o'clock.
Back to the White Lotus.
No, I'd be honest. It's White Lotus. Like, I don't know, when you were a kid, maybe I shouldn't go down this route, but you always have a show on last. You have Nickelodeon on last, just in case. People who have been down this road know what I'm talking about. And, I wonder how many people are going to have White Lotus on last. Ready to go just in case. I need to bail out of this.
Is Jennifer tonight. Coolidge in Thailand?
I don't think she'll be in this season.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to give spoilers to people who haven't watched it.
Well, how could she be? She died.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's a spoiler.
That's right. Forgot.
By the way, you want to talk about funny TV show deaths? That's an all-timer where she just falls off the boat, bangs her head, and then just goes under.
And it was so...
I shouldn't laugh. Like, oh, it was so... She was hilarious.
She was... Well, it launched her 15 seconds of fame. I mean,
she's... She was around before.
No, she... Yeah, she brought her
back. I'll say this. As much as I wasn't thrilled with the first season of White Lotus, she was the best part of that first season of White Lotus. Like, when she's dropping her ashes into the ocean, and then she starts screaming into the abyss. Like, oh, it's so cringe. It's so funny.
Well, like, I knew of Jennifer Coolidge, but when I first saw her in the White Lotus, I was like, that is the most annoying voice. That is the most annoying character.
She's the worst person.
She was just like, I was gravitated to her. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
It's one of those things. It's like why we watch the Kardashians. You know, it's a train wreck you can't turn away from. And that's... Well, I don't, but
they have something coming out. They have a new show coming out.
I don't know. Kanye's divorcing his Knicks wife, so that's all I know. it's
LeBron just screwed up.
We're getting off track here. Yeah, back off of White Lotus. Get back to LeBron. It's an ugly look for him. I agree. I started off the segment trying to rationalize it, being he's old, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, Dan, I think you're right. Even if he is creaky and not feeling it, just go out there for a couple minutes. Just catch a pass, take a it's not like anyone's gonna close out on you. Like, you know, get a shot in the corner, you know, put up a three, then go sit down. All right, you did it. Like, 60 seconds on the court is not gonna kill you.
Or if you really don't want to play, you gotta sell it better than that.
You think it would have been better if he had announced, like, on Thursday, LeBron James can't be playing, we're gonna get a replacement in there?
I think that if LeBron had let people know, mm-hmm. and again, you can manufacture all of this stuff because you have so many people at your disposal. Mm-hmm. Get the LA PR team on this thing. Let's just start blowing in people's ears right now that you got issues with your ankle and you're doubtful.
Yeah, maybe say something on Thursday night after you walk off the court. Ow, my ankle hurts. And
exactly.
Then on Friday, LeBron, he's questionable.
That was disrespectful.
Yeah.
That what it is that we just heard, that flippant response, and then he breaks into laughter. And it's like, bro, you don't...
He tries to play it off. Like, it's not a big deal.
I'm surprised that he's not reading the room here. Because I don't... Does he not understand? And it's not a big deal, I guess, at the end of the day. But the All-Star game has been really problematic in the NBA. And it's been an issue and part, again, of one of the reasons in a growing list of reasons why the NBA is declining in popularity. And for him not to recognize that... And first of all, okay, if you're going to leave, but don't do that in terms of a press conference. That was embarrassing. And that, to me, is going to piss people more off, I think, than him not playing.
Yeah.
Is the press conference itself.
I got a...
It wasn't even a press conference, whatever the
hell
that was.
It was a pregame availability there, yeah. So I got Zucci Main on the text line saying, what's worse, that or whatever CP3 did last night in the skills competition?
But it wasn't CP3.
Yeah, it was Wemby, exactly. But we're going to blame CP3 anyway.
May as well.
But it's a very fair question there, Zucci Main. But yeah, no, it's... coming up here to the end of the show here, and we are reacting to the news that LeBron James will not be participating in tonight's NBA All-Star Game. How's that got you feeling, Warrior fans, other fans? Are you mad at LeBron? Are you giving LeBron a pass because he's 40 years old and has been carrying this league on his shoulders for the last 22 years? You know, how are we feeling? Should LeBron be playing for just a minute or two tonight? Because this... You know what? I want to know what fans are saying about this, because at the end of the day, this is a weekend for fans. This is a showcase for the fans. It is a chance for the fans to come together and have their own special moment with the league, and for LeBron to kind of laugh it off and make it like a not big deal. Yeah, I get what you're getting at here, Dan. There's a disrespectfulness there to it. So 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to hear from you, everyone. How you feeling about LeBron? Are you in or out on him not playing? Are you mad at him? Are you just disappointed? So we want to hear from you. We got about a half hour left, a little bit less actually, because we got to hit that hard out a little bit earlier. So on the other side, I've been teasing this Kevin Durant and Draymond Green sound all show long, Dan. And then LeBron, aside from ruining the All-Star game tonight, has ruined my plans in terms of playing this sound. So on the other side, we're going to put this LeBron thing to bed for a minute. I got some Kevin Durant sound. I got some Draymond Green sound. And we'll talk about what the Warriors are going to do after the All-Star game. And then we'll put this whole show to bed. I am Sam Lumman. He is Dan Devone. Behind the glass is Cameron Williams. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. I read before every game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
So that was some sound that our board op Cam Williams threw at us. I guess when Victor Wembanyama brings a book with him for every game and was reading, and Nikola Jokic, I guess, who's never seen a book before, was asking, "Oh, you actually brought a book? Oh, that's very cool. You brought a book."
And he was reading the manual on how to cheat in the skills game in the NBA All-Star.
Reading le manuel on how to cheat at the skills competition. That's my really bad Wemby French accent right there.
I love you. Jokic is good people, though.
Honestly, I have a beef with Jokic, and it comes to this. So, on the morning roast at the end of every year, we've done this 3 times now, we have our annual Doobie Awards. This is something that Bonte and I kind of came up with on the fly one day doing a show. And basically, it's a moment that honor all the best moments from the morning roast throughout the year. And it takes a lot of preparation to set it up because it's you got to go through a year's worth of sound and pull all these different sound clips. So I spent a couple weeks just compiling all this stuff together for the show. And I had this whole plan, this whole script written out for us how we were going to do the Doobie Awards the morning we were going to do it. We were planning on a Friday, I want to say like December 21st or something of last year. Not of 2023. So not last year, just back in 2023. So we're all set to go. And that night, the Warriors are, I believe they were in Denver that night, taking on the Nuggets. And they got this massive lead in the fourth quarter. And all I'm thinking, well, as long as the Warriors don't blow this, we'll be good tomorrow. What ended up happening? They blew it. Jokic hit that half-court shot for the winner.
Oh, yeah.
I remember thinking halfway through, I'm like, this is going to blow up the Doobies. We can't do this anymore. And then he hit that shot, and we had to cancel the Doobie Awards, postpone them all the way into January because Bonte and Shasky were about to go on vacation. And so we had, like, this Friday is going to be our last shot to get it done unless we'd have to wait all the way into January. And what do you know it? Jokic ruined the second annual Doobie Awards.
Wait, why couldn't you do it, though?
Well, we can't do a whole award show the morning after one of the worst losses of the year for the Warriors.
So how long did the Doobie Awards take?
Oh, it was going to take the whole show.
The whole show?
Or most of the show, yeah. Like, I had this whole plan. We were going to weave in and out, but, like, you can't, like, because it's a lot of joking going along during the Doobie Awards, and you can't have a joking attitude the night after Jokic did what he did to the Warriors there, so... Yeah, ever since then, I've had a beef with Jokic for ruining the second annual Doobie Awards. So anyway, yeah, a couple thoughts here on the Comcast Business text line, on the unsponsored text line right here, the 510. As a Warrior fan, I'm excited that LeBron is out. Can't stand him. The sooner he retires, the better. That's Guy at Walnut Creek. I don't know if that's Guy Santos in Walnut Creek.
Guy was hanging with our man Cam.
He did, yeah. He ran into Cam out in Union Square there. Everyone's running a Cam these days. 949, Sam wants a selfie with Bronny James to post on his IG for a flex. Bronny wishes he could have me on his IG for a flex. 415, we knew something was up when LaDiva didn't show up to practice in Oakland. Completely selfish and unacceptable. He's only been concerned with himself and his stats, never the team. Surprised he didn't have Bronny as his sub. Actually, yeah, that is a surprise. They wouldn't just, you know, jam Bronny on the team as a replacement. And then, so yeah, there's your unsponsored text line right there. I've been teasing this all show as we're talking about LeBron James not being in the NBA All-Star game tonight because his feet and ankles are hurt. It's one guy who will be on the court, though, is Kevin Durant. And he was at the All-Star practice yesterday at Oracle Arena. I believe it was the first time he's been back to Oracle since the 2019 finals. And he got a very, very big ovation, which... to him, might have been a little bit of a surprise because, as we remember, Dan, Warrior fans and Kevin Durant didn't have the best relationship when he was there. I very much remember whenever he would go down, the first take was, well, don't worry, the Warriors are better without Durant. You know, this is Warriors basketball. And I always hated that stuff. I always hated when people try to, like, you know, limit how much of an impact KD had on the Warriors' success. Because he was an integral part of both of those championships that he won with the Warriors. He was the finals MVP both years, and deservedly so. So it always frustrated me when Warrior fans kind of isolated Durant. And he obviously took note of it, too. That's why he, I think, left when he did. Draymond Green certainly didn't help matters there. And I think it's a big reason why he did not want to come back here during the trade deadline. Remember, there was a deal to bring Durant to the Warriors. I think it probably would have included Jonathan Kuminga even. And Durant's like, I don't really want to go back there. And the Warriors were like, you know what? We don't want to bring you here if you're not going to be happy. And they nixed the trade, which is a very classy move by the Warriors to do that. So after the Suns' final game of the pre-All-Star break, Durant was asked, you know, in the Suns' locker room, what's going to be like going back to, you know, the Bay Area and to Chase Center, Oracle, around all these fans. Here's what he had to say about that.
Hopefully people can look at the big picture and see I got a couple murals in that arena, in that concourse, you know. So for a couple of days, I know it's going to be hard, but for a couple of days, you can kind of forget about how I left the Warriors or how I came to the Warriors, me not wanting to go back to the Warriors, and just appreciate the weekend, appreciate the players that's there. Hopefully people can get off that and just, you know, appreciate basketball.
So can we get to the point? Can we finally let the past go and just appreciate the greatness that Kevin Durant has brought? As I wear my Kevin Durant Town jersey today, because for me personally, Dan, I never thought Durant would actually come to the Warriors, even after the Warriors won 73 games. Like, on that 4th of July, when I found out that Durant was coming here, I had friends in, you know, who are Knicks fans texting me all sorts of obscenities because they were jealous. Like, it launched 3 years of the best basketball we will ever see in our lives. Like, for the rest of our lives, we will never see basketball as good as what we saw from those three Warrior teams. And Kevin Durant was such a big part of that success. He was such a great big part of that greatness. The Warriors were great before Kevin Durant. Don't get me wrong. Like, when people would say the Warriors are better without KD, I'm like, no. The Warriors are just better. Like, plain and simple. That's why they could win without Kevin Durant, because they're just that much better than you. And that first season, that 2016-17 season, was so much fun to watch. You could watch the best basketball you'll ever see every night, and then you could shut the TV off at 9:15 and go to bed because they were up by 30 going into the fourth quarter and they'd be resting everybody. Like, and so the fact that fans had any sort of animosity towards Kevin Durant, and I'm sure it's not a mass, like, most Warrior fans did love KD. Don't get me wrong. I am bringing up a loud minority of fans here that I'm calling out, and these fans, they absolutely know who they are. But the Warriors are better without KD crowd, oh, that always irritated me. And I hated that Durant let that noise get to him. You know, remember Burner Gate, where he was, like, you know, tweeting people and he didn't realize he didn't have his burner on. So he didn't do himself any favors. But honestly, he did not deserve the kind of, maybe scorn is the right word, that he got from certain sects of the Warriors fan base. I don't know. How do you read that?
Yeah, I don't really have an issue with fans, because I'm always reminded that it's an acronym of the word fanatics, and fanatical people are just that. They're whatever. You're a fan. We don't necessarily have to be relying on pragmatic thought from fans. Be a fan, you know. Boo the hell out of whoever it is that you want. You feel as though you were done wrong by KD. Yeah, go ahead. It's your right.
But what was so wrong that KD did to
nothing,
Warrior fans?
Nothing. At
exactly.
The end of the day.
So how are you going to be complaining?
Well, that's just fans. Again.
Like, well, yeah, that's why I kind of just, like, I hear where you're getting at. There is an irrationality to it. I could be an irrational fan at times, too. You're talking to a guy who once insisted that J.D. Davis should have been an all-star a couple years ago for Austin Riley. I have my fair share of irrational thoughts. Don't get me wrong. And I am all for being an irrational fan. But come on now. Like, any Warrior fan that has a negative thing to say about Kevin Durant, it's like, congratulations, you became a Warrior fan in 2013.
Well, he got up and left, so you can understand that just the knee-jerk emotional reaction of, we almost three-peated. In fact, we would have three-peated if you didn't go down with an injury and Klay Thompson goes down with an injury. So for you to walk away from that, like, there's going to be that. Now, you're not, listen, if fans were like, well, let me think about it, and I, you know what, I fully understand why it is that Kevin Durant decided to team with Kyrie Irving and go to Brooklyn. No, that would be weird. To me, fans are just that. You left our team in the midst of what was arguably the greatest starting lineup in the history of the sport. Maybe the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan and Pippen and company could rival that lineup, but we are right in that conversation. You walked away. So, yes, again, the fans are going to be fans. That shouldn't keep anybody up at night. When it comes to KD, I guess the one thing that I've always sort of appreciated is that he sort of walks to the beat of his own drummer. Now, was it a wise move for him to leave? He's never sniffed another NBA championship.
The closest he got was, that he was a Brooklyn, big toe away, basically. Yeah.
And he did that without Harden as well as Kyrie were both.
Kyrie, I think, was on that. The year where he hit that, because he was, that year against the Bucks.
Weren't they both hurt?
They had that second round series against the Bucks that went seven games. He almost won it. His foot was on the line. They went to OT. The Bucks won that series.
But I think they were both hurt. Or Harden was Harden on that team?
I don't think Harden was on that team, but him and Kyrie, I think,
but Kyrie was hurt.
Him and Kyrie
so it was just
were still
him.
Cooking, I think.
Yeah, but Kyrie was hurt. Okay. So it was just him. And so my point is that the reason why everybody tries to sort of figure out why it is, and they rack their brain of why would he leave OKC and go to the enemy, the team that just docked you out of the Western Conference playoffs, a team that is like, you know, that's not fair. But I think at the end of the day for KD, he's like, we talked about how market appeal is something real with today's players, and how I think your point was that you need some of the bigger stars and bigger markets. Staying with that theme, I think that if you're KD, you only go around life once in your NBA shelf life, although his is certainly being extended because he's so good and so he's a unicorn, one of one. But if you have the latitude and to go where it is that you want to play, do you want to stay in Oklahoma City? Nothing against the Midwest.
Oh, no one wants to stay in Oklahoma City.
So if you have that opportunity, to me, it was nothing more than quality of life, and I don't necessarily want to hang out here with Tumbleweed and be you know, these Thunder stories.
Oh, well, Thunder fans, I absolutely get their frustration.
I think to KD's point, it's just like, it's not, look, it. I get it, but I just want to go. He's very entrepreneurial. Him and Kleiman, his agent, you know, they're very involved in startups, and they gravitate to Silicon Valley. Not to mention it's California, and it's the Golden State Warriors. He just wanted to get the hell out of Oklahoma City. Like, I think a lot of us, if we had the opportunity to go wherever it is that we want, you're not staying in Oklahoma. And yeah. I think that it didn't get any further than that.
No, and I think it's, hey, listen, Thunder fans, got some bad news for you. You think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be a career Thunder? Got another thing coming. So, speaking of Durant not being on the Warriors, Draymond Green, he was speaking with the media after the All-Star practice yesterday, and he was asked about, you know, the post-All-Star break Warriors, what that's going to be like. And here's what he had to say about the 27 games the Warriors still have left on their schedule.
It's the playoffs for us coming out of the break. What we got, 27 games left? It's a 27-game playoff. And then a grind to win 16. That's the urgency I expect. That's the urgency that we will have.
So there you go. Draymond Green expects a 27-game playoff grind to the playoffs before the real grind of winning those final 16. Dan, as we go into this final stretch of the schedule, Warriors have the fourth hardest strength schedule left. They played a lot of their easy games been played already. A lot of the games against bad teams have been played already. But they didn't have Jimmy Butler for a lot of those games. So that's going to be a big difference here in these final 27 games here, which start off in Sacramento against the Kings next Friday night. And with Jimmy Butler in tow, does that give you a better feeling about this team? Here's what Draymond Green has to say about that.
Shout out to Jimmy Butler. Completely changed the belief of this team. You know, we started off the year great, and everybody believed. And then continued to believe even though it was going rough. But at a certain point, it don't start going right. You start to lose that belief. And we did. It's like Jimmy was like life support for me. You know, just came and injected a bunch of energy, a bunch of belief into this group. Because of the leader that he is, because of the talent player that he is, because of the guy and dog that he is. And, you know, like I told the guys, we can all fall in line. He's a great guy to follow. Like I said, that belief that, you know, he's brought back to this team. I'm sure you can see it watching. And to me, when I'm watching, it looks different. When I'm playing, it feels different.
So I'll be honest, Dan, I think this year's been the most pessimistic I've ever been about the Warriors in a long time as a Warrior fan. And I say that because every time they go into the fourth quarter with a lead, my first thought is, well, how are they going to blow this one? The last four games, I have thought that. And three of those last four games, I was wrong to think that. So right off the bat, my preconceived notions about the 2024-2025 Warriors have been changed by one James Butler III. With Jimmy Butler in tow, knowing that the Warriors have such a tough schedule these last month and a half or so of the season, do you have a new level of belief in the Warriors doing something special this season?
Well, how could you not? I think that what Draymond Green said really makes sense with a lot of us, I think, and Dub Nation. It's palpable. You can just feel the difference. You can clearly see it. It's something. It's the 12-3 start was exciting, but playing the 13 guys, I think a lot of us were like, is this sustainable?
And then it was not.
Yeah, and then you're like, it's sort of a bubble. Is there a foundation really in this? This feels entirely different. Like, this feels real. This feels as though there's structure. The one thing that we talk about in Warriors this week is that the Warriors, for a good portion of this, not only this year, but going back to last year, haven't had an identity. They clearly do now. It's Steph shooting threes, and then you have an inside-out game and somebody who offsets that with interior play named Jimmy Butler. You have an identity now where energy, where guys like that, a Pajemski, as well as Moody, and of course, it's all started with Jimmy Butler, and those are the 50-50 balls. That's just simply out-hustling the other team. That's now part of your identity. The Warriors are clearly now a team that at least you know who they are going forward. Again, for me, I may sound a bit pessimistic. I've lived a little bit, so you just need this thing to breathe. let's see in a month, because right now we're sort of in the honeymoon phase. When you lose a couple of games, is there any finger pointing? What's the temperament at that point? Let's just see how he assimilates going forward. I think that clearly it's an upgrade, and I think it's going to get only better when Jonathan Kuminga comes on board, and it'll be interesting to see how he assimilates and plays alongside Jimmy Butler. But it's, you know, it's something that I think is real, and you can feel it.
I definitely think this team has all the ingredients it needs to do some special stuff here in the second half of the season, or final third of the season. Seems weird to call it a half when a third of the season's left. Integrating Jonathan Kuminga, which we're going to see probably right away. He's expected to be back after the All-Star game from a sprained ankle that he suffered on January 4th. So he should hopefully be back on the court when the Warriors play the Kings this Friday. It's going to be very interesting to see what that closing lineup looks like. Obviously, Steph will be in that. I'm talking about the final five, not the starting five, because I do believe that Steve Kerr will be bringing Jonathan Kuminga off the bench to start things off. My guess is the starting lineup will be something like Steph, Pods, you know, maybe we'll see Moody in there, or it'll be maybe Steph, Pods, Jimmy, Draymond, and TJD. That's my guess as to what the starting lineup will be when Kuminga comes back, which is the starting lineup that Steve Kerr's been kind of rolling out, you know, the last few games. The final five, though, I think it'll be very interesting to see. Will it be Steph, and then will it be Pods or Moody? I don't know, but seeing Jimmy, JK, and Draymond on the floor in that closing lineup together, there's a lot of defense there. Not a lot of outside shooting there, depending on who that two guard is going to be, whether it is Moody or Pods. And that's where it's going to be interesting there in terms of how much space that creates for Steph Curry. So Kurt might have to do some tinkering there with his rotations, which, you know, Warrior fans are punching air right now whenever I say Steve Kerr working with his rotations. But that's going to be a thing they're going to have to figure out. They're working Jonathan Kuminga in during this slog to the playoffs. It's going to be a challenge. And with it all said, though, I think this is a good enough Warrior team to get out of the play-in box. Like, sixth seed is absolutely, I think, on the table. And whether or not they could pull it off, I think they can pull it off. It's going to be tough, though. And the sooner they can kind of figure out these rotations coming out of the All-Star break, no easy task. It's been kind of tough for Steve Kerr getting rotations that he likes this year. But like we saw the other night against Houston, whenever you have your big three off the court, you can't have that. Like Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, one of those three need to be on the court at all times. Preferably Jimmy or Steph need to be that one.
Yeah, it seems like it's been for the last 2 years where Steve Kerr is trying to find a rotation. Maybe the last 3 years where
he's a lot of tinker. He's playing matchups, yeah.
But now I think that has come into focus. Mm-hmm. It's with the arrival of Jimmy Butler, and also it's the emergence of Quentin Post. Because now I've got a stretch five. So
who can hit a three?
If the matchup requires it, I can get somebody on the outside who can do just that. I can get somebody who can extend and shoot a three. If, you know, he gets a little exploited defensively, or, you know, I can go small. It all depends on matchups. But now, for the first time, you feel as though Steve Kerr actually has pieces to work with. And that hasn't been the case over the last year and a half, 2 years.
Veteran pieces to work with, too. I think one thing that Jimmy Butler's really going to help this team out is also at the free throw line. Because a guy who can get to the line as well as he can and can make free throws as well as he can is huge for a team that has been absolute booty from the free throw line all year long. Got a couple more minutes here before we head out. We're going to go to Fremont, where our guy Rich is waiting on the line. He has some thoughts about the All-Star game tonight and the absence of one LeBron James. Rich in Fremont, how are we doing today?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Happy All-Star weekend. Happy All-Star weekend in San Francisco.
To you as well.
Which is something that we definitely love that. I'm not really against the idea of LeBron not playing. I mean, obviously he knows his body. He knows what he's capable of. You know, the man's 40 years old. If he doesn't feel for whatever reason he can go, you know, he's got injuries, then I think we should respect that. Now, I know it's All-Star weekend. I understand that. And fans want to see the best of the best. But if he can't go, man, he can't go. So I'm not really going to penalize him for that. I feel like, hey, man, you know your body. You know what you're capable of. So now as far as the rotations go with Steve Kerr and the Warriors moving forward and getting to the sixth seed, you know what? A lot of people not really happy that Kerr has moved those rotations around. But you know what it's been, though? It's been a guesswork for opposing coaches. They're looking, going, look, we don't know what the guys are going to throw at us. Yeah, you know,
I like that spin on it, Rich.
Yeah, and you know what I say? I say, hey, Kerr, you're the coach. You know what you can do to deceive coaches and the game plans of these other teams. Hey, man, do what works. So, yeah, move stuff around if you got to. And, yeah, go Warriors, man. Thanks
I love it, Rich. Thanks for the call, Rich. Great way to end the show.
Good note to get out on.
Yeah, that's a drop. Right? That's a walk-off right there. So, yeah, we're going to wrap things up here as the NBA All-Star Sunday Night festivities are about to officially tip off here. So it's been a fun one here, Dan. Thanks
Enjoyed
for
it, Sam.
Rolling with me today.
Look forward
Cam,
to it.
Killing it on the board as usual. That's what he does. And you know what? He's such a great worker here, Dan. He's going to be here cutting the All-Star Game sound afterwards.
He's the man.
Because that's when we come in and doing a morning show, when you walk in and nothing from the previous night's been cut, that is literally the worst thing in the world. But this guy right here, he's made it so I don't have to do that as often this year. And gotta love it. So shout out to you, Cam Williams, best friend of Guy Santos, who they're running into at Union Square. So literally could not do this show or any of this stuff without you. Literally, as fun fact about producing a morning show, Dan, I don't know if you know this, but it's a little stressful. Guys like Cam take a lot of that stress off. So that is it for us. I am Sam Lubman. For Dan Devone, for Cameron Williams, enjoy the NBA All-Star festivities tonight. And, yeah, we will catch you, possibly, as I look for a drop I want to end the show on here, on the next one. There it is.
See ya.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.